Okay, today's daf is daf Tet Zayin, and last year we again a lot of this Gemara is going to see today as well. We saw and also beginnings from we saw in Masechta Shvi'it. So I'll do some comparisons as we go along a little bit, not too much. I won't overdo it. But where we ended was trying to understand the what Rabbi Yehuda said in the end. And we explained that statement of that these pasula edut. Is if he has no other profession, is going specifically on the Osveishvid. That's how we explained it. And therefore, we said he was going, the first understanding, he was going Lakula, meaning these Osveishvid were considered Pasul Eidot. And he said, well, actually, that's if he has some sort of profession during the other years of Shemitah, or also during Shemitah, so Kula Lakan, then it wouldn't be Pasul Eidot. He's talking about someone who has no other profession whatsoever, at all whatsoever, and all he does is try to capitalize during Shemitah year. That's how we explained it. However, we've got Tani Rabbi Chiya L'chumra. We have another position. Brighton Rabbi Chiya says L'chumra. Says Hey Chavida, Yosef Osek B'Malacha Kol Shnei Shavua. Let's say he happened to be working during the other years of Shemitah. Kevin Shabbat Shvi'it. Once Shvi'it comes along, he Tchil Mifshat Yadav Nosev Perot Shvi'it, and then he ends up, if you like, saying, "Okay, I'm going to switch jobs now, and I'm going to try and capitalize on Shemitah." Now, I'll just show you here the gears we have in Shvi'it adds a lot more words. So I'm going to look at the Shir Nuschot. I think you probably and it says here it says im yesh imam malachar acheret then it's kasher. About the im lav pasul, meaning if he has what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if he has work during the other years of Shemitah and during Shemitah himself, other work, that's when we say he's not pasul el edot if he happened to do some business with Shemitah. אבל אם לא היה עוסק במלאכה כל שני שבוע, כיוון שבת השביעית התחיל למפשי ידע לישא ולתן בפירות שביעית, זה אז אף על פי, back to the Gemara, אף על פי שיש עימה ולאחרת, פסול. So in other words, it seems to be that in order for, this is, Rabbi Yehuda is, this is a more machmir understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning he's only not pasul eidot if he has worked both during the Avdiz of Shemitah and during Shemitah himself. That's when he's not pasul eidot. However, if he didn't have any other work during the years of Shemitah or during Shemitah itself and he did business, then he's pasul eidot. Okay? That's the two different shots. Okay, so once again, the first way of understanding, sir.
What's the svara to accept that chet because he has other means of parnasa?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think that it's very similar to the first thing we have to appreciate this, we're all talking about Yisod Rabbanan firstly, and the question is this going to impact his trustworthiness as a witness? Meaning his chimun mamon, his desire for money, is that going to sway him? So it seems to be that, according to the first understanding, that if he has any other means of income, then okay, he tried to capitalize in a not allowed way. Well, we're not going to pass a later for that type of thing. However, it sounds like where, according to the other opinion, we're super machmir, meaning I don't. It's only if he has another full time job during the rest of the year and during Shemitah, and this is just a side gig, if you like. That's when we say, okay, fine. Well, that's not going to invalidate him for testifying in someone's loan or something like that. So that's the machmir reading of it.
So would you? I mean, how would you read that? You know, I'm a kosher butcher. But on the side, I sell, you know, I put in a few non-kosher chickens.
Okay, that's very good. But you're this is going into his kashrut. This is the one parsha. He's not trustworthy in kashrus. So how can he be considered a kosher trustworthy within kashrus itself? Here we're talking about he's got a. He might have this side gig in terms of in terms of Shvi'it making his own money on the side there, but it doesn't mean that he's going to start accepting bribes to testify falsely. The two different sugyas, if you
Yeah,
like.
so we can accept the chet.
You may accept
that's
the chet, that's what it seems to be. But the question is, the two different readings of Rabbi Yehuda is, where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
Meaning, how committed does he have to be to this enterprise to say, no, it's pasul eidot? Is it just a little bit or completely committed? That's where it's... Well, not really completely, but that's the way we draw the line.
Thank you.
However, the Gemara da says Lo bada Rabba Baruch Zabda Rabba says Bishon Balaz Halach Rabbi Yehuda Ben Hamidkin, and then we said Tama, and then we said after that Tama, we said that Rabba Bar Zabda Demar Shmua Mushum Zira Minei. Now here it's really Ikalis Rabba, right? So if you remember before, we said the way we ended the shir that Rabbi Avol said in the name of Rabbi, sorry, Rabbah said in the name of Rabbi Avol, said in Rabbi Lazar, the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. And then he was praised that he said halacha in the name of Sana, who is more make, who is lower than him, not of his stature. That's how we ended it. Now that makes a lot of sense if he, if the situation in Rabbi Yehuda was being more makil. Because if he was being more machmir, well, what's the big chiddush to say I'm going to be machmir like someone who's more makil, like who is lower than me? The biggest, again, it's much easier to be machmir than it is to be makil. So the chiddush this is I'm paskening like this understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. If someone's lower than him says he's going out on a limb here and saying, okay, we're passing Rabbi Yehuda is more makil, and then he says, okay. I hold like I'm quoting this individual. That's more of a worthy of praise because he's willing to put his put himself on the line to be more maker, right? I think I explained myself well, but no, I'm not sure. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Okay, now here is an interesting. It's when it says Amar Rav Yossi Bar. So the Gemara that says Af Hacha Ken. So when we look back and make Sefer Shvi'it. I think we made some Reb Chaim, I didn't listen to the shir, but Reb Chaim back there says, okay, oh, this question has got to do with Tzaydei Chayav Off, that we said that Tzaydei Chayav Off, that the those that happen to that trappers of sorry, of animals, if they happen to catch animals that are tame, that are allowed to sell them. Even though normally no one's not allowed to sell non-kosher animals, like that you've trapped. Okay? However, and then it says, why is only them but nobody else? And the answer of the Gemara is, it says, well, they're Malchut Oneset, as we'll see in the continuation of the Gemara. But it's interesting because the Lashon of Tahacha and Taman is within the same case. So I only just saw this now that the Rosh Cirilio actually says that that he says, no, based on Sanhedrin, it's not talking about that at all. And he explains very much like the Korban Eda here. So we're going to continue like that. He says, Taman Tanina instead, I'll just show you here. Taman Taninan back in Shvi'it, he's adding the Taman Taninan, he's adding this bit. Instead, Shni Kavtza Tizra Lamotze Shvi'it. If someone happens to water a field, sorry, plow a field, my mistake, in Shmita, he can plant after Shmita. Taman Amrinan, Bishnitla Kotzea, that's when he's pulled out the Kotzim. Rabban Hach Amrin Bechrish, where he plowed, different explanation exactly what went wrong. So he says, "V'chenu." Despite the fact that Abid isu d'oraisa, l'rabana that even what he did seems to be isu d'oraisa. Dichti b'charish v'kitz. The question is, "V'hacha amrin here?" We say the sochrei shvid apsulim la'idut. So the question is, there seems to be okay, they can plant, whereas here they are apsulim la'idut. What's going on? So the answer is Taman there besochere shviot the psulim she'ein kan. I'm still in the korbanet she'ein kan ones. Afilu hachi avri adoraisa, meaning it says in our situation the reason why they're pasul eidot for doing avodah doing shmita is because there was nothing compelling them to do so. And nonetheless, the over he understands it being isudoraisa. We're going to keep on explaining like isudorabanan, but he's like korbanet seems to be here. He's done an isudoraisa, and there was nothing compelling to do so. Therefore, you're pasul eidos. Aval baram hacha, meaning the case in Shvit, hamalchut oneset. So again, Al Ksor Mar Es says, but nitin to Shvit, Ari shamalchut oneset, shishlamu manat hamelech, lakach lo kanso al acharisha. That's talking about that situation where they were plowing. Why? Because the malchut compelled them to pay a particular fee and almost forced them to do so. And that is why they were not considered pasul eidos. They're allowed to benefit from the year after Shmita. Okay, so just to explain it outside, the whole contradiction we're trying to understand according to the Korban Eda's reading, we're comparing in Gemara there where if you happen to be plowing during Shmita, you're allowed to benefit after Shmita. The Gemara is scratching his head, 1 second, you're over in Sudoraisa, what are you doing? And here, if someone does Avodah during Shmita, Osvei Shvi, we said they're Pasul Eidos. How do you understand the two cases? And we said the contexts are different. Meaning, in this co the context, in our context, there was nothing compelling to do so. We just tried to make a buck during Shmita. That context where they were plowing, that was because the Malchut was compelling, forcing them to have a tax collection and things like that. That's the difference. And they were matir, one plow, second plow. We'll discuss that in more detail now. That's why they didn't make a knas, because the Chachamim allowed them to do so. Now, the question is, that the Gemara is going to be addressing now, I'm not sure if you remember it from Sefer Shvi'it, is, well, what are the limits of that? Just because the non-Jews compel us to do stuff, what's the limits? So the Gemara says, Rishona. Now, I'm not sure if you remember this, but we said that initially, when the Malchut was being forcing them to pay tributes and things like that, he allowed them to do one plowing. That was considered minimal, if you like, and sufficient to in order to give what they needed. In other words, it wasn't going to be free rein now, so undo the whole Shemitah, but he allowed them to do what was minimally necessary in order to pay these tributes. So Achad, there's different gears here, so Mashumad or Mumar or Rashia, different gears here. He was passing by during Shemitah. The Chamtum Ramyan Kovati. According to Korban Eder here, they saw them like stacking wheat in piles. According to the Korban Eder, so the Reb Chaim back in Shvid, it means that he was like removing some rocks. In any event, they were doing more than that was necessary. So Amar Lum, Ha'astu Shara Marara. It seems to be, have you, this is the way the Korban explains it. He says, the Metan Mechlim in Rob HaTorah. Now you really guys are starting to go against the Torah. Shar lechun mirma kovat, you've permitted now to, if you like, either stacking this wheat or removing stones. Sounds like you've gone out far more than what was, if you like, permitted. Which is interesting. They were criticized by Rashiya, by this Rasha, which Reb Chaim, I think, if I remember correctly, back in Shmid, says that, you see, we learn from Gemara that even the Rashaim know what's what when it comes to Torah. Okay? So, like, just because the Rishon doesn't mean they're nothing, they're sometimes very, very well versed. And here, the situation says, "Oh, I know the Heter, and you're doing this, and you're over on this," and that was criticizing. Okay. So, Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Zavik, Shita Kamei Rav Avahu. We asked a question before Rav Avahu. Lo ken Amar Rav Zirav. Once again, didn't really say this. Rav Yochanan said the Shem Rav Yanai. Rav Yirmi Rav Yochanan said the Shem Rav Shimon Ben Yotzadik. Nimnu Vale Beit Nitzah B'Lod. They got together and they decided to Aliyah and Lod. It says Ala Torah, meaning Min Ayin. Sorry, Allah Torah, sorry. Minayin im amar goy l'Yisrael la'avor ala chat mikol mitzvot ha'amor of Torah chutz mi'avodazar gilu shvichotamim ya'avor ve'ayarog. Where do we know that if a goy, it's at the threat of life, he was trying to kill, if you don't do a particular aveira, that you can go ahead and do so and you don't have to give up your life? Here, fill in the blank here. It says, Shenei amar v'chay behem v'lo shibo. The Torah's mitzvahs are giving us to live through and not die by. Okay, however, so in other words, it's only the big three one has to give up their life for if they're at risk of being killed. Okay, however, how did the tamer ben Eulah saw? That's only if in private. Aval barabim, if however it's in public, afil a mitzvah kala al yishmulo. Then even if a smallest mitzvah, if the goy comes and says, over on this mitzvah or we will kill you, then you don't listen. You say, pull the trigger. So, could God, for example, Papus v'Lulainus Echav, the two brothers, Papus v'Lulainus, shenatnu lahem maim, they gave him to water to drink, but kli zchuchit, in this glass, colored glass, kli zchuchit savua, v'lo kiblo mahem, and didn't accept them, and they were killed for it. They were moisa nefesh for this. What's with the colored glass? Korban Eder says, shehaya chok la'amim lishtot mahem, some sort of like chukat agoy of some sort. But Natana Sala Papus v'Lulainus Echav, he says, you drink this now or we will kill you, and they said, take our lives. And that's what happened. And that was Nergu kach lefi, and because it was Farhesia. So Amar Leo, no. Amar lo itkaven mishabdaton ella migabi aninun. So when do we say someone has to give up their life? That's when the goy comes and has pure intent is to make you go against your Torah, the Torah. He wants you simply, there's no benefit being derived by him. He just says, wants to make a Jew do averus. That's a situation we say, okay, even mitzvah kala. In this situation, the king just wanted to fill his coffers. I've got a tribute. Who says you get a year off giving tributes? So in that situation, the mitzvah kala, they're able to do so. Okay, that's a distinction. So Kamehen and Rabin, how many's? What's the difference between Yachid and Rabin for this law of Kiddush Hashem? So Rabban and Ki Yisri Nami Asara 10 people dichtiv in Itachi Betoch Bnei Yisrael. We've seen this drasha Betoch a few times. Okay, now Rabina Zeira Chamonei. Pare chorin, they ra'uoto, they saw him being mechamer achamra b'shabta. He was doing the isra of mechamer because he was compelled to do so. Similarly, Rav Yonah, Rav Yossi, horin the mafei l'artiknas b'shubta. They told everyone to bake. I think ofe, if I'm not mistaken. It says horun horliot ofe. Yes, to bake bread for the Sara Melech on Shabbos. Okay, that was another situation where they're compelled to do so. So Amar Mani Kishit Kamei Rabbi Yona Abba Velo Ken Amar Rabbi Zira Rabbi Yochanan Abba B'Shem Rabbi Yana Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Beyot Tzedek Nimnu Vale Beit Editza V'chulei. The same kasha, but one second. These are Iveiras Barabim. Why didn't they have to give up their lives? Why is he telling them to La'afot? The answer was Amar Loi Kaven Mishabdaton, because the intention wasn't. He wasn't the Tsar wasn't saying, oh, we want you to break your bake your bread just to be over on Shabbos, and we're just going to chuck it out. We have no interest in it whatsoever. No. This he wanted bread. Eli kavi mechel pita chamim. He just wanted hot bread, and his intention was self-serving. It was a hadat atzmo is an expression, and that's why for Naveira, other than the big three, you don't have to give it for life even barav. Okay, come in, Rabbi. Once again, Rabbi Nikisra asra Israel. Yafe. Okay, Rav Avina baye kamei Rav Imi goyim maushi mitzuyin akedush Hashem. Are non-Jews also command kedush Hashem? Did they have to give their life up? Shavim himself b'nai Noach. They have to give it a life. They said to battle of others, they have to do so. So Amar Lein, it says in the pasuk "Niktachi b'toch bnei Israel," that it's Dafke Israel mitzuvim and al kiddush Hashem ve'em goyim mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem. The only Jews are required to give up their lives, not goyim. And Rav Nisi says b'shem b'shem Rav Elazar, Shama me had to learn from the following, and this is a situation where Elisha, if you remember, helped Q and Aman, which is not a Jew. And he said it was Makabel Shavim, but however, he said that I will be compelled to go. The king's going to compel me to go and partner go with him with the Avodah Zarah. So it says, so can I go ahead and do so? And he says, Lavar Yislach Hashem Lavdecha. He said, I'll read the pasuk. Lavar Hashem Yislach Hashem Lavdecha. Bavoi Adoni Beit Rimon Rebion Ishtachavot Sham. He's going to bow there. Vunishana Al Yedi Veishtachavita Beit Rimon. I have to bow there. Ishtachavita Ishtachavayati Beit Rimon Yislach Lavdecha. Whatever I say, will Hashem forgive me? And he was told to go. Okay, so you see for there that mitzuy that Israel mitzuvim al kedusha Hashem and goy mitzvim kedusha Hashem. Okay, yafeh. He happened to be by some individual in Rome. They gave him non-kosher meat. He says, go ahead and you better eat it. He says, I'm not interested. So probably. If you don't eat this meat, if you don't have my burgers I just made for you, then I'm going to kill you. If you want to kill me, go ahead. I'm not interested in eating it. It's interesting. What should have he done? It was not one of the big three, so he should have eaten it. But he nonetheless declined. He says, kill me. Who would have told you? If had you eaten it, I would have actually killed you. Because my principle is E-U-D-U-D-E-R-M-I-R-M-I. Or it says here, but like, if you're a Jew, if you're an M-I-R-M-I, not. Now, also, I was basically testing you. So, Amar Rav Manna, Ilav Rabaz, Brazmina, Shema Milu Rabban, and had Rav Manna heard what the Rabaz, Brazmina said, sorry, again, had Rav Brazmina heard, my mistake, Shema Milu Rabban, had what the halacha really is in this situation, Mechel HaVeBahari would have had to have eaten and would have died. So in this situation, Ashkacha has it that he hadn't heard the halacha and ended up saving his life. It's just in this twisted way. Okay, Beseder. Let's continue. Tay bezmanazeh mahu. Now, when we saw in Shvi, we spent a lot more time than we're going to today on it because we looked at different parashim. Reb Chaim had a parash, Rav Sirilio had a parash, with some Rafulda, and we sort of charted out the different ways of following the sugya. But we're not gonna, actually not going to explain Reb Chaim there. I found it because at the time I found it a bit more difficult. And Rosh Hashanah explains it much like the Korban Eder here. So we're going to continue like the Korban Eder. I think a general flow. Let's call it that. So it says, "Taiva bezman hazeh mahu." What happens nowadays if someone plows? Because if you remember, the heter was during the time of the Malkut making the gzeira on them that they were allowed to plow, do one plow during Shemitah. To get that minimal amount, and there was no knas applied on them after Shemitah, they're not allowed to plant in that field. Okay? Now the Gemara says, what happens if it happens manazeh? Now again, the way I explain manazeh is kipshuto, here, not like Reb Chaim explained it there, which is nowadays when you don't have the gzeira. What happens? Does we now give someone a knas? So Rabbi Yirmiyah Savar Meima Bat, really shy, Batel Hadin, Batla Gzeirta. Well, this I think I'm back in Shvid is Shari, it's Mutar. So I'll explain. Batla Meaning, since at the time during the way he's explaining it, is since the time when they had the Gzeret Malchut, the Mevatel, the first Knas, that was Mevatel, the Bittel endured. So therefore, the Knas. The knas was never reinstituted. So if someone happened to plow nowadays, they'd be able to plow much freely. Again, they're a naughty boy for doing so, but their knas wouldn't apply. Okay? However, Rabbi Yossi Savar Meimano. So he explains the way the Qumran explained it here. He says, no, read the Qumran out. What are you talking about? The original Gzeret Chachamim, if someone plows during Shemitah, was always in its place. It never was Mevatel. Meaning, if someone plows in Shemitah, they're not allowed to plant the next year. And it's Acha Batla, you need another Beitin come to Batla. Aval Zelon Batalia to Beitin. During the time of the Gzeret Malchut, where they had to pay the tribute, the original Gzeret was never Mevatel. The moment Beitin came to Mevatel it, it was a situation of honest, so therefore they were able to act in, if you like, conflict or suspended, if you like, the sentence, if you like, for someone who planned to do Shmita. Because honest was a, well, not even that, probably a better way of explaining it is the Gzera didn't apply to them because they were in a case of honest. But the Gzera was never removed. So therefore, if someone plays nowadays, then the Gzera meaning of the Knas would apply to them. So that's a machloket. Rabbi Yirmi says that during the time of this, the tribute was demanded, then Mevatel the Gzeira, the Knas applies to anyone, and therefore you need another Beitin to reinstitute it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, it was never Mevatel, the Gzeira was always in place, they were just Be'ones, so therefore it didn't apply to them. Okay? Now we say it's fine. Utekavata, now this is interesting, Kavata. Normally you think it seems to me we're trying to bring a proof, but the way the Korban explains it, which I think we explained back in the Shvid as well, in his second expansion of the Yotarnira, this Ashigra de Mesechta. In other words, like sort of pulled in from another Mesechta, if you like. And that was talking about Kinyani, but I'll read it to you here. It says this was the Gvatam Perak. By the way, this Rebbe Yirmiyah Sava Hadin Batla is that whole that's like a contracted sort of piece in the sugya. It goes into much more detail in Masechta Shvi'ah, which we do. It was many, many lines. It sort of just jumped to the almost like the last line of that piece, where it says Batal Gzera. Sava Meir Batal Ladin Batal Gzera. Anyway, it doesn't. Let's continue. Uktavata Ema Emata Adam Zochela Perot Shvi'ah. So again, Rabbi Yirmiyah Sava Mishnah on the Tachlav. As soon as he puts in his basket, it's his. However, Rabbi Yossi Savar me mafilu number the kalav imdi puts in his kelim lo zacha savar din undi day velate undi day, and that relates to, if you remember, if someone takes something, puts it in his basket, but is not aware, this is sugi strong ketubot. We're not going into too much detail now. If he thought it was his, is his kli koneret? Now, if he thinks it's his, that's a machloket. As soon as he puts in his kli, it's fine. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says no, he put it in his kli. It's not because he thought it was his and didn't do a kinyan on it, so it's not even considered his yet. Because again, during Shemitah year, even though it's his own field, everything's hefker. So I'll just show you here. Lo zacha. Commentator says, "Mipneshul nana kelav desakotba ela savu shem shelo." He thought it was him. Kivin shekol brashodok. He's grown in his own garden or in his field. V'met enom shelo the rishareish shel shvit and the Shemitah. The kemish loy kaven miknotam, since he had no kavana when he put it in the basket to perform a kinyan on it to make it his, because he thought it was always his, alindina, ein kalev maknino, the basket doesn't do the acquisition. Because you have to have a da, you have to have intention. I want my kelim to acquire it. And because this person went to his own field and thought it was his, like, putting in baskets, I'm going to do it. And he says, I'm zoichta now from Hefka. Type of thing. Okay, let's continue. Ramana kad'ayel prukla betzipori. Now here, talking about Sara Mumunem et HaMelech. That's a prukala, or a prukla, or maybe it's a Hori. He instructed, he wanted, the Hori here is the Nachtomim Imkor Pap B'Shuk B'Yom Shabbat. There was instructed, you guys have to start selling hot bread in the market. So Hori Mafka, so you go, the Hori Mafka L'Mashuka, they said you have to produce these things, and the Chachamim were taught them, were matter them to do so. Rabbanan de Taman, Hori, Mafi chamia bepischa. It says you're allowed to even produce this bread on Pesach itself. So chametz bePesach to produce this stuff. So full stop. And that was basically again, what was the justification? Second nefashot, And the intention was not to make them over on Pesach, but find out that's man. That's the thing. Let's continue. Amar of Yossi Barbon. Ani pi melech shemor. Ani pelech hachoya malachi meshmor. Shamali besinai ani Hashem lakecha. So here, I'll read the Korban. It says, Mashani shomer pi melech basar badam. That which I have to keep the follow the din of the machulta. That's the idea. Latet misim and pay taxes. Yes, of course I have to pay taxes. No question, but are not. Kuchol Hashem etzev alai. Yes, you have to pay taxes. You have to follow the law of the land. There's no question. Bezeni shomer pi, I think it's Mashamar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamar anochi Hashem lokecha asher atzidich ha-meir Yisrael. Okay? I'm keeping that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'achi yama achare shotzich ha-meir Yisrael, after you've left Mitzrayim, Now that I am a guest in his Medina, I also have to accept his instructions as well. This is the, if you like, Anichem Shel Kecha, he's bringing as a source as effectively saying, concept Dina the Machut Dina. I've got to keep the law of the land of which I'm a guest in that country. Va'al Divrat, however, lo yichelel himacharim panai, and shvuot chim lo yitisa l'shem lo kecha l'shav. That's different. Meaning, Sefer Dekra. Oh, umefarish lehachi. Korban says, "Aval kishemelech basav domer li lavol divrat lo yilehem alacharim." However, if that melech is going to tell me to stop bowing down to idols, kolomar sheomer lavod al akum, einim mekabel tzivu. I'm not going to accept that. Why? Ki nishpat. He already made a shvuah l'Hashem shelo la'amir bo that I'm not going to exchange for any other god. V'kibalti alai dibur lo tisa et shem elokecha. That I've got the shvuah. I've kept it. The chen, full stop. So in other words, it's almost like maybe a homiletical, midrashic type of way of reading the psukim. On the one hand, yes, I took out Mitzrayim, so you have to keep my words. If you're in another host nation, you have to keep this. However, it can't be in conflict with lo yalachim lachim mapanai, that there are limits into what you have to listen to the malchut. Okay, fine. That's and then it says similarly. I just insert again gears of change. The chen amru chanani mishal v'azaril mechanetzar. That Hanani Mishael Bezari said to Nebuchadnezzar when he took them out, when he had them uttered, but davar hazen navo hahu gavra vahen kalba shneim shavim. What's that mean? This is a pasuk. Anu va'amru malcha lamuchanetzar. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, v'kasha im malcha lamanu mechanetzar v'im menachem arutzar lama malcha. What is malcha lamuchanetzar in the pasuk? Elakachamru lao. If you're just simply taxing us, Atza Melech, you are the king indeed. We're your subjects, we're in your land now, we have to pay all your taxes and follow the laws. V'im la'avod avodat elvelim, you're gonna have to bow to idols. At v'kalba shavim, then you and your dog are the same, meaning let at Melech, you're no longer a Melech, you're just a Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, we will not bow to your instruction. So they were making clear to Nebuchadnezzar where the lines in the sand were going to be, where the lines are going to be drawn. Okay, let's continue. So what are the krovim that are pasul? We say there's Achiv, his brother, v'achiyaviv, his uncle, v'acheyimo, his uncle from his mother's side. Okay? U'balachoto, balachoto is his sister's husband, so brother-in-law. U'balachot, balachotaviv, so that is his uncle by way of, through marriage, in other words, his auntie's husband. U'balachoto, So balachotimo, other uncle by his mother's side, if you like, married to his auntie. Vechamiv, father-in-law. Vegiso, that's his wife's sister's husband. So that other type of brother-in-law. Hen them ubnehem and the children vechotnehem and the sons-in-law. They're all vechorgo levado. But when it comes to his chorgo, that means his stepson. It's only him and not extended relatives. Okay. So it seems that all the relatives we mentioned includes them and their sons and their sons-in-law, except the choreg. So again, we'll map this out, Mitzvah Shem, next time. There's a lot of charting to do next time. This is just introducing for the next year. Am Rav Yossi Zeh Mishnat Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva extended to. Aval Mishnah Rishon, that was only Dodol Ben Dodol V'Chol HaRoel Yorsha V'Chol HaKarov Lo Be'Oto Sha'ah. That it seems to be only the people that were Ra'ui to Yoresh and Krov Lo Sha'ah. That would exclude, say, the mother side of the family or certain relatives. Again, we're over time, so maybe next time I'll bring all the charts to explain how this works. Hayak Karov Intrachek. If, however, someone is considered related and then became distant, for example, chotno shra'ui liyorsho ma'patishto, so his son-in-law who's ra'ui to inherit him by way of his daughter, and then the daughter dies before kodem shara'at, then before that ex-son-in-law, if you want to call it, saw the edut, well, then that would be fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu meta bito v'yesh lo bani memena arei ze karov lo. Now, even if his daughter dies and there's still son, so they're still connected in that way, then they're considered a relative and pasul la'idot. Again, this will require lots of the discussion. So I'll just read the first line. So just to get to the end of the daf. Since one's brother, we said in the Mishnah, one's brother is considered a karov, and we said and their sons and sons-in-law. So if you think of that, it would include then a nephew if you have that extra extension. Why does the Mishnah have to say that your uncle is considered pasaleido? That's also his nephew, right? His brother's son. It's the same thing from two different directions. That I don't need to say that explicitly because I can. If once I say achiv, I already know a nephew by way of the extension from a brother. So lamalachol, that's to teach you no, because that's we only do extension once. We don't keep extending. So that's to teach you benovachot that's to teach you that we extend also from the uncle benovachot shel chatan shel achiv, meaning to have a shlishi b'rishon nami pasol. In other words, to because. If it was just by virtue of being the brother down, you wouldn't be able to extend in the same way. You know, the next time it's Hashem, I'm going to bring all the charts and all this will be a lot clearer. It's very hard to visualize. Okay, Beseder, we'll continue from this point next year. Have a good day.